The Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. So I got to church this morning, walked in the front, and saw the palm fronds on the posts outside, and realized that it's Palm Sunday. And we remember how our Lord entered Jerusalem in what we refer to as the triumphal entry, as the King, the anointed King. But this morning, just going to do something a little different, because we're going to attempt to answer a question that a lot of people ask, and that is, why was Jesus baptized? Why was Jesus baptized? And so our reading is Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. Verse 16, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So Jesus comes to John at the Jordan to be baptized. John says, basically, you come to me to be baptized. I need to be baptized by you. Jesus came to be baptized by John. Now, John was baptizing people. He was a prophet. He was proclaiming the word of God. He was calling the people of Israel to repentance, just like the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, which was appropriate for John, and Elisha. He was calling the people to repentance. They would come and they would confess their sins, and they would be baptized in the Jordan. And at that time, baptism was symbolic of washing, of having been cleansed from sin. If we go back into the Old Testament law, we can see there, if people did things that made them ceremonially unclean, they would have to go outside the camp and wash before they could come into the camp and go in to become part of the congregation of Israel. So that's what the baptism was about. It was a baptism of repentance. Why would Jesus come to be baptized when he was the sinless, perfect Son of God who had never sinned? Well, for a start, because it was the right thing to do at that time and place. Jesus said, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. It was the right thing to do. Now, some people become Christians and they get baptized. They want to get baptized, even though they don't have all the theology that goes with baptism, the symbolism of the death and resurrection of Christ, and of dying to sin and rising to new life. They want to get baptized. Think of the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. Philip comes alongside his chariot. The Ethiopian guy is reading from Isaiah 53. And Philip comes alongside and he explains that the guy comes to faith. And as they're going along, the Ethiopian guy says, look, here's water. Why don't I get baptized? done. He didn't have a whole lot of theology and this sort of stuff, but it was the right thing to do at that time and place. And so sometimes people become Christians and they don't understand all the theology, but they want to get baptized because the Holy Spirit tells them this is what is required, this is what God wants for them. So they get baptized. Why? They don't necessarily have all the theology, but they know that it's the right thing to do. And so Jesus was baptized because right there at that time and place, it was the right thing to do. And in a minute, we'll look at another reason why that was particularly the right thing to do. Another reason that's been suggested as to why Jesus was baptized was in identification with sinners. Now, he was the perfect Son of God, never sinned, never done anything in his whole life up to this point in time and for his whole life anyway. But he was baptized in identification with sinners. We remember how he was criticized by the priests and the Pharisees because he ate and drank with sinners. Now, a lot of unbelievers are quite ready and willing to point out, oh, Jesus ate and drank with sinners. That's true. That is absolutely true. But he was never influenced by them. They were influenced by him. He never became followers of them. They became followers of him. So this idea that, oh, yeah, well, you know, we must accept whatever people want to do or who they are, their lifestyle and everything else. No, we accept people. Jesus accepted people, but he had never accepted sin. Jesus was never changed by somebody else's lifestyle. Other people were changed by their encounter with Jesus. And a classic example is the tax collector, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is up in a tree. He's heard that Jesus is coming. And we've got to remember, tax collectors were pretty dodgy people, right? It's sort of like in Jewish circles, you know, you had the Romans and you had all these terrible people. And then right at the bottom of the socioeconomic scale were tax collectors, right? Everybody hated tax collectors because they collected taxes for the Romans. Jesus comes along and Zacchaeus wants to see who Jesus is, so he climbs a tree. And Jesus comes along and Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm coming to your place for lunch today. And after encountering Jesus, what does he say? If I have robbed anybody or taken money unjustly, I will repay it. And Jesus refers to him as a child of Abraham, a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus was transformed by an encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus identified with sinners. He was identified as a sinner by the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In fact, in Luke 22, verse 37, Jesus is, on the night they came to arrest him, he says, "For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me." And he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. And that's from Isaiah 53, isn't it? We know that from Isaiah 53:12. He was numbered with the transgressors. But his identification with sinners would have its ultimate expression in when he died on the cross for you and me. And he took our sin on himself. He experienced the judgment of God for our sin so that we can be forgiven and so that we can have eternal life. But is there another reason? Is there a deeper reason why Jesus was baptized? Well, if we look at Luke 3:23, we read there, Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. Now, is that significant? Well, if we go to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 4. Now, the book of Numbers, of course, is about numbers. Numbering the people of Israel is a key theme of the book of Numbers, isn't it? Chapter 4, Moses is told by God to number the people of the tribe of Levi. In chapter 4, verses 3, 35, 39, 43, and 47, Moses is told to do a census of the families, of the different families of the tribe of Levi, of the men 30 years and over. Because only men 30 years and over could enter the priesthood in service of God. So Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30 because he was entering the service of God. But let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go back to the Hebrew scriptures for a minute. And we'll read there about Aaron and his sons. Now, Aaron was an old man when he entered the priesthood, but his sons were over 30. Exodus 29, 4 to 7. And we read here about God appointing Aaron to the high priesthood of Israel. Exodus 29, 4 to 7. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments and put on Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put coats on them, and you shall gird Aaron and his sons with sashes and bind caps on them. And the priesthood shall be theirs by a statute forever. Thus you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. That's to verse 9. Leviticus 8, 5 to 12. Is a reiteration of the same thing. And Moses said to the congregation, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded me to do. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. He put the coat on him and tied the sash about his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band, and he placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and Thummim, and he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. Verse 12. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. So Aaron was brought to the tabernacle, to the tent of meeting. He was washed with water. He was anointed with a special oil. and he became the high priest, and his role would be to offer sacrifices for the sins of Israel. Jesus came to the Jordan. He was washed with water in the Jordan, and he came up out of the Jordan, and he was anointed with the Holy Spirit of God to become the high priest of the new covenant. Now, just to clarify something, Jesus is the Christ. Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, meaning the anointed one. The anointed one of God comes from the Greek word Christo, anointed. Now, there's a prominent American preacher who, when he talks about Jesus at the Jordan, he uses the term, oh, and Jesus was smeared with the Holy Spirit. That is quite erroneous. You see, in Greek there are two words that are used for anointing. One means to pour oil onto, as used in sacred anointings. The other one is used in James 5, where the scriptures tell us to, for the sick person, to call for the elders and they shall anoint him with oil, right? That there is the Greek word meaning to smear, or as in used in the term of applying ointment. That's a different word. Jesus was not smeared with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured on him and he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He was and is the anointed king. But he is also the anointed high priest of the new covenant. Aaron was washed with water. He was anointed with oil. He would offer animal sacrifices for the sins of Israel. And once a year, on the day of Yom Kippur, he would enter the holy place with the blood of animals to make atonement for the sins of Israel. But Jesus would die once for all and enter the holy place in the heavenly temple, or the temple in the heavens. And he would not go into the holy place by the blood of animals, but by his own blood to make atonement for sins. The book of Hebrews goes into great detail about how Jesus, our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is the high priest of the new covenant. His priesthood is superior to that of the Levitical priesthood. His offering is far superior of any other offering. The Son of God, God the Son, was not only the high priest, but he was the spotless Lamb of God who would die to make atonement for the sins of the world. And through personal faith in him, we can know and live in a reality of complete forgiveness of sins. Yes, Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness because it was the right thing right there and then. He was baptized in identification with sinners, and he was baptized and anointed with the Spirit to be the high priest of the new covenant. When we celebrate communion this weekend, coming weekend, will we remember how Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray together. Lord God, We thank you for your word. We thank you that you had a plan right from the beginning that your son would come and would die to be our Savior. You called Aaron to be the high priest in Israel. But he was only following a pattern. The pattern that you prescribed. The pattern that would ultimately be fulfilled in our Lord Jesus. We thank you that he died for us. And he lives forever to intercede for us as the high priest of the new covenant. And we don't have a high priest who is untouched by our weaknesses and failings, but was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. And so he is able to minister to us and intercede for us. Lord God, we thank you for what you accomplished for us in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Amen.